Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be here with you on a Monday. Thank you very much for being here with us on the first Monday after the long holiday weekend here in the U.S. I hope it's going well for you, the return, whether you are still returning or have returned. I hope it's going well for you. We got a great show for you today. Second hour, Father Tad Boholczyk will be here, and we're going to talk about bioethics. And he's one of the best in the world at talking about bioethics, at thinking through bioethical issues. So that'll be fun. This hour, something that we started doing in the holiday season some years ago, and then became a more regular thing. But I'm particularly glad that we do it during the holiday season because I think that it is much needed. We'll talk about addiction and recovery today from a Catholic perspective. If you'd like to talk about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. For many of us, the holidays can be a fraught time, so a good time before the big day, Christmas Day, with all that it brings before it gets here, even before we start Advent, a good time to reflect on how to stay healthy and whole throughout the holidays. 888-318-7884. Here to help us have that conversation, as always, our good friend Scott Wieman, the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery, the title of a book that I never get wrong. I always get it right. Scott Wieman, welcome back.
It's a pleasure being with you today.
Thank you very much for being here. Mm-hmm. The holidays are wonderful and difficult, and I imagine that is particularly the case for those in recovery.
Absolutely. I think you're spot on, and kind of the holidays can bring out the best in us, and the holidays can bring out the worst in us.
Right.
Opportunities, you know, this time of year, we just are coming off of Thanksgiving weekend. I'm sure many people, listeners here, maybe had a joyous Thanksgiving. In some instances, it may have been challenging, you know, when we're put in forced family environments, which good to be with family, but sometimes that can uproot some family conflict or expectations for ourselves and others.
Right.
And temptation. You know, if the holiday festivities involve a lot of drinking or a lot of eating or a lot of other, I don't know, mildly belligerent behavior, then, you know, it can be a time where those who are seeking recovery, a new way of life, there's some temptation to go back to old behaviors, but also an opportunity to really redouble our, whether it's our recovery efforts, if we're seeking recovery from a variety of addictions, compulsions, or unhealthy attachments. Or it's also really a great time for us to practice the principles of our faith and, you know, be charitable and loving to each other. And, you know, so that requires some preparation. You know, certainly Advent is a season of that. But, you know, even before Advent and perhaps even considering Thanksgiving and all of these family festive gatherings, prudent for us to be at least prepared.
888-318-7884. If you yourself are in recovery or are facing addiction issues, you're very welcome to call. Maybe it's a family member you'd like to talk about. Maybe just a coworker, a situation that you're in that you'd like Scott's help with. 888-318-7884. In addition to being an author, Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. Tell us a little bit about Catholic in Recovery, Scott.
Yeah, Catholic in Recovery is a community of individuals and family members seeking freedom from addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. It was founded in, well, the website created in 2015, CatholicInRecovery.com. I was then given an opportunity to write a book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. And in that process, I was doing some local speaking here in San Diego, and did a four-week series at the St. Joseph Cathedral, and brought together people who were seeking recovery from a variety of addictions, in mm-hmm. recovery, family members impacted by a loved one's addiction. The best part of those talks was when I was done talking and other people had a chance to share through the lens of our faith, the sacraments, scripture, Catholic devotions, those things that would maybe otherwise be out of bounds in a secular 12-step recovery group. And it was clear we need to bring these people together on a regular basis. And so we started our first Catholic in Recovery group here in San Diego in January 2017.
And wow, six years, huh?
Yeah, it's been 6 years. And with the format...
Oh, almost seven, though.
Almost seven.
Yeah, almost seven. Yeah, wow.
A format that blends the sacramental life of the church with the 12 steps, you know, 12-step wisdom. And from that one group, which, you know, at the time, I had no vision that it would grow to the way it has been. Had never thought that I would be sitting next to Cy Kellett on Catholic Answers Live. But God has certainly, you know, blessed the community in this effort. And now we have about 100 active Catholic in Recovery meetings around the country, around the world, a few in Canada, a few in Mexico, and host 50-plus virtual Catholic in Recovery meetings, weekend retreats hosted for individuals in recovery. We get people, the lovely thing, I see Catholic in Recovery as a bridge between the church and 12-step recovery groups, or other recovery as well. We find people who have been sober for a long time coming to our community, offering a lot of great experience, strength, and hope around addiction recovery. And then, you know, maybe, but they, some have been away from the church for some time. A gentleman who leads a group or is active in a group in Sacramento, California, 48 years sober, but when his wife passed away about 6 or 7 years ago, he and his wife had been away from the church for quite some time. He was active in recovery from alcoholism, but had been away from that fellowship as well for some time. And when his wife passed, he just felt this inclination to come back to the church. The church was starting a Catholic in Recovery fellowship, and he got active, and yeah, just shares a wonderful, joyful life and wonderful experience, strength, and hope. We have others who have been in the church for quite some time, but perhaps dragging their feet on taking action around an addiction. And so we see Catholic in Recovery as a gateway into addiction recovery by blending what we know of our faith and the sacraments of the church and 12-step recovery.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. You want to talk about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective with Scott Wheatman? Your call is welcome here. By the way, you don't have to be Catholic. There is a tremendous wisdom in many of the 12-step programs that Scott is very familiar with, and in the whole Christian tradition that can be of help. And we'd love to have the conversation with you, whatever your background is or your present state in life is. 888-318-7884.
And you can be anonymous over the phone.
Yes, you can.
You can call anonymously.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's over the phone is one of the easiest ways to be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 888-318-7884. Let me ask you a little bit about that. I mean, how is the church? How does Christianity? How does the Christian religion treat addiction? Think of addiction? Isn't it just sin? And are addicts really welcome in the church?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's a question.
You don't look like that's a good question. You look like that was a bad question.
No, I think that's a wonderful gateway into a great discussion around.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that people seek the church. You know, people are longing for the church to be there to support them or a family member around addiction needs. And I think that really, certainly at the heart of the church efforts, the apostolic mission of the church is to serve the poor and the needy and the most vulnerable and the powerless. You know, so the first step of addiction recovery, we admitted that we were powerless over fill in the blank, alcohol, drugs, lust, food, gambling, technology, another person, place, or thing, that our lives had become unmanageable, which is, I think, really in the spirit of the Beatitudes as well. You know, I hear, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And, but there's a certain humility that's required to recognize our powerlessness. Oftentimes, change comes as a result of a lot of pain, perhaps, you know, our own pain, but also pain caused by others.
Right.
Usually those are people that are closest to us, family members, community members, you know, people who really care for us, which is why, you know, addiction is, we'll discuss it as a family spiritual disease. No one is immune from the effects of an addiction, even if it's not your own. There are still, you're certainly impacted, and, you know, we see how a family system changes to oftentimes kind of keep the addiction active. You know, it's almost the addiction that's calling the shots, if we can personify it in some ways.
Yeah.
And so we act a little bit contrary to what would be really within the sane. We act within sanity. And so, you know, I think that the spirit of serenity, sanity, and sobriety through the holidays is one that we can all capture, all maintain, whether we're in recovery or not. But yeah, there's a lot to that question. But to get back to your original question, the church embracing it, I think in varied degrees, but I also see that there are some perhaps myths that kind of rule the way of how we approach addiction or recovery within the church.
Oh, okay.
Oftentimes, you know, there's a lot of stigma around addiction, that the presence of an addiction somehow is a personal referendum of who we are or who our family is.
Right.
And we act with a lot of fear, I think. And, you know, in addition, the spirit of recovery kind of moves freely. And I understand, certainly, there are, you know, certain things that we need to do to protect our church. And, I think, like you mentioned, something that made me think of, you know, we have, let's within a church, within a parish, for example, policies that might require attendance. I've heard that, you know, parishes where every time that there's a gathering, they have to take attendance of who's going to be there. And that's kind of like a policy for a parish event to take place. And with addiction recovery, we can't take attendance. The spirit of anonymity is really important. And so, you know, I'm sure that there are some legal reasons why they want people's attendance and things like that. But, you know, we just had to, in that instance, say we can't have a meeting at this spot if that's a requirement. You know, so there are some varying elements or levels of the church embracing and approaching. But, you know, the more we go, the further that our community grows, the more I see the church embracing. And in fact, I got a phone call today that the Archbishop of Los Angeles is going to distribute 100 copies of my book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, to inmates in prisons at Christmas time.
There are other instances where
bishops and Catholic leaders are really embracing the spirit of healing and through addiction recovery within our church. So I'm very hopeful.
I'm glad that you're hopeful, because I worry about us being, I'll tell you a part of what prompts the question is there's this famous person who I won't name who just left a somewhat famous life of a libertine life to be baptized and become Christian. And she said, you know, the most surprising thing to her was how bitter some Christians were about her coming in to the church. And I sometimes think we are like that. The church is not for your kind of people, whatever that may be, that we're a little bit like the Pharisees when Jesus welcomes Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the church can learn a lot from the principles of addiction recovery fellowships.
Which
is part of why, you know, Catholic in Recovery was started. My life was saved by the 12 steps in the 12 step fellowship.
Right.
And I found salvation through the church. I wouldn't have gotten to the church if it wasn't for sobriety and recovery. And it's only God that keeps me sober. So there's these two beautiful pillars that are, kind of coexisting that can certainly learn from each other.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, falling in love with the Catholic Church. I've recognized where we can lean into, you know, the spirit of community and healing and humility and
Scott Wieman is our guest. There's a few folks on the line. There's three lines open. If you want to talk about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you are if you're watching on the video, do not be afraid. That is not a Civil War general. That is Scott Wieman. He just grew a very fancy beard. Right back with your calls for Scott right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Still a couple lines open if you want to talk about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective. We're heading into Advent. We just celebrated the feast of Christ, the King of the Universe, yesterday, which means next Sunday we begin the new liturgical year, the Advent season. And as beautiful and wonderful as that is, that also provides us with lots of temptations and sometimes frustrations and upsets, and all of which can be activating for our various disabilities and shortcomings and all that, and addiction certainly part of that. So if you'd like to call and get some help or ask a question or share your story, you're welcome to talk with our good friend Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, 888-318-7884. Mary's in Minnesota, listening on 1280 AM. Welcome, Mary. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hi. I don't really have a question. I just want to tell my story of my addiction. Quickly, I'm 69 years old. I have 7 kids. I was cradle Catholic, been Catholic all my life. I had an eating disorder, bulimia, for 45 years, and I tried getting over it, tried everything I could think of, kind of got over it, but towards the end, the last few years, I would still have slip-ups for the past, you know, 3 or 4 during the year. And I finally had a religious experience. We were in Israel, and we were in a church, and I saw a statue of Mary, and I went and kneeled in front of it. And all of a sudden, her face came to life, and I had to look away because she looked absolutely horrified. And for 2 years, I thought it was about something else. It couldn't have been about me, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what I realized 2 years later was it was about me, and how much my sin of choosing to continue was hurting her by hurting her son. And after that experience and after the realization, I've not had any slip-ups for the past 3, 4, 5 years. I don't know how long it's been, but Thanksgiving and all the holidays it's a trigger for that kind of addiction. So I stay away, just for everybody listening, I stay away from the trigger foods. I just don't eat them anymore. I don't care if people try to push it on me. And I live a much healthier lifestyle, and I love the Catholic Church, and I feel like that experience really finally helped me get over it.
Mary, let's hear what Scott has to say.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you for sharing your story, Mary. And what a gift, that kind of just a revelation. That's truly something that's remarkable. And, one of the things that I've found since starting Catholic in Recovery, and I've said it a few times already today, addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, these manifest in various ways. I see them as different symptoms of the same spiritual malady. Could be related to alcohol, drugs, food, either overeating or restricted eating, in the case what Mary's discussing. Certainly lust, pornography, gambling, technology, etc. I could list a long list of things that are largely different symptoms of the same spiritual malady. When she's referring to triggering foods, I think she's referring to sugar and flour, which in a lot of ways can activate a craving, or also, you know, for those who restrict, can do different things as well. And so, you know, she's found that, I appreciate abstinence from some things. I'm curious, Mary, can you tell us a little bit more about just like, you know, how are the holidays different for you now, I guess, compared to what it used to be like?
Oh, well, all in all, I feel free. Every day I feel free. It's completely the most wonderful life after being in that addiction, which you feel like you're in a cage that you can never change. But you can change. I think one thing I thought was, you know, why bother trying? It got so long, so many years, and whatever the reasons for, that's really not important. I think it's just something that I knew that I had to choose, and I knew I also knew I didn't really want to quit because I didn't want to get fat. That's how an eating disorder person thinks. You don't want to get fat. You don't want to give up this way of life because you're so afraid for whatever reason not to get fat. And I am free from that now, and I
praise
control
God.
Myself. You know, I can't just eat anything I want, but I do eat, and I actually stick to a really healthy diet. And
Mary,
it's not really a diet, it's a lifestyle. Yeah.
What a wonderful call. Thank you very, very much. I thank you so much for the call. I want to ask Scott, how often do you hear something like, I was trying, but I didn't really want it? There's kind of almost a spiritual difference between the person who, kind of wants it, but the person who's ready to say, now, I want it.
Yeah, that's... I think of the prayer of St. Augustine, Lord, make me chaste, but not yet. And I think that that's certainly, in a lot of what Mary actually then unfolded after she said that was that it was fear that drove her to stay almost in that cage she's discussing.
Yeah. Right.
In the cage or the cave and just not locked up, enslaved.
Yeah.
And so, part of the 12 steps is really uncovering what are those fears so that we can replace them with faith and different types of, both attitudes and behaviors, because it can be very common for people, particularly with food-related addictions, to kind of just give up. And like she mentioned, been at this for 45 years. And, in some ways just thought, it's never going to come my way, or right. I'm just going to be always enslaved. This is biblical. This is the story of the Egyptians who were enslaved, who on their road, on their road to freedom, were getting fed up, and they almost were happy with, let's go back and be enslaved again.
Yeah, right.
And so we have to fight against sometimes these urges, and they comes. We addiction manifests, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, lust, technology, behavior, or substance, biologically, cognitively or mentally, emotionally and spiritually. And it takes time for those to heal themselves. We have to take action. It's not just time that heals those things. Mary sounds like had a white light experience almost through the Virgin Mary. And
right.
That's not the case for everyone. And so, I hope that other listeners are hearing, don't give up.
Just keep
pursuing God, and He's going to be there right by your side. And, oftentimes it takes pain, or the pain is greater than the fear, that then we take new action. And so once that window of grace, though, for action doesn't last forever. It's a window of grace where we have the opportunity to take an action that we otherwise wouldn't, connect or ask for help. Asking for help through prayer and through other people, something that we can all use a little bit more of.
Mary, thank you again. Our guest is Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. You can find it at catholicinrecovery.com. They have the Catholic in Recovery workbook, a guide to the 12 steps. And you're very welcome to call if you have a question you'd just like to ask Scott now on the air, 888-318-7884. I will remind you that Scott said it's perfectly fine to call and be anonymous. We're happy to take your call. Let's go to Sue in Oklahoma, listening on 100.9 FM. Sue, awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Thank you. My question was really about how to start a program here in Oklahoma. But as listening to people, I am in a 12-step program, and I'm 11 months sober. But what I'm hearing is my other addictions are still there. I quit smoking cigarettes years ago, but now I'm vaping instead. And I started that when I gave up the alcohol. And for years had a food addiction, and I still find that as a part. And when I overeat, I throw it up because I feel lousy. I mean, I just feel like I have to.
Yeah.
So as I'm listening to you, I'm like, man, I really haven't overcome my addiction.
Well, let's get a response from Scott, and then I'll come back to you, Sue.
Thank you for calling, Sue. Alcohol in itself is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And if you have found freedom from that, then I think that is worth praising God for.
Amen.
When it was, I came, I'm an all of the above kind of an addict. Mm-hmm. If it brings power, pleasure, honor, or wealth, which St. Thomas Aquinas says are the four things we pursue in place of God, I want more of it. We have a disease for more. And, one is too many and 1,000 is not enough. I could go on and on with some cliches that describe my condition and our shared condition. Sometimes people come to Catholic in Recovery and they say something kind of like what Sue just mentioned, which, I realize that I have more addictions now than when I got here, which, perhaps that's just being, starting to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, but that's the same thing people say about confession. I started going to confession and now I feel like I've got more sins, because you start to be sensitive to the fact that when you're insensitive, you just miss all this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's also a human element where we have a tendency to want to just avoid that or escape or run away. A lot of our groups, especially our in-person groups, we have a variety of meetings every day that are suited for different types of addictions, compulsions and unhealthy attachments, family members impacted by a loved one's addiction, different prayer and meditation groups. But many of our groups are general recovery groups, so people with a variety of addictions gathering together. And that really provides a holistic approach to recovery, because there can be, which we just heard a few examples of, where we might give up one addictive behavior or substance, but replace it for another. And mm-hmm. that is not, you know, maybe there's some progress there if it's a less life-threatening addiction.
Yeah, you can say that.
But there's still opportunity for spiritual growth.
Right.
Where we want a spiritual awakening where we're relying upon God, not different behaviors and substances in order to be well.
Sue, what do you think?
I agree, and I do feel like spiritually I've grown through the program. You know, I was born and raised Catholic, and I will always be a Catholic, and always had faith in God. My biggest thing was I never gave my will ever to God.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really working on through the program is, like, you got to give your will up. And yeah. I can do that in some ways and not others. Oops, I hear you're...
Yeah,
you're
that's the story of the spiritual life right there. Yeah,
thank you for the call.
God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. 888-318-7884.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answers' own Carlo Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carlo's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
In These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes, best-selling author Rod Bennett gives a riveting re-examination of gospel events from the ground floor perspective of Christ's own hand-picked successors. In his trademark storytelling style, Bennett movingly depicts what it was like for the apostles to witness Jesus' teaching and miracles up close. Why did he call them, and what did he intend for them to do? Order your copy of These 12 today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman is our guest, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, discussing our beards during the break. Why are we hiding behind these beards? There's no answer to that one. 888-318-7884, the number if you want to talk about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective. You have an issue yourself, issue in the family, just any issue, you're welcome to call. And you don't have to be Catholic to call. You want to talk about addiction and recovery, we are happy to do it. I'm sure Scott is happy to do it. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Sacramento, California now. Cameron is listening on the Catholic Answers app. Cameron, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi, guys. Quick little background. I was raised in the church, did the whole deal, you know, baptized, communion, confirmed, all that. Long story short, I kind of walked away from the church during my teenage years, which led into me falling into alcoholism and other drug addictions. I'm grateful to say that I now have almost 6 years of sobriety due to the 12-step program. The question I have for you, Scott, is when did you start Catholics in Recovery? Because I think that's fantastic. I see a lot of Celebrate Recovery, which is kind of like the Protestant version of that, those little flags hanging around town out here in Sacramento. But I haven't heard of this before, and I was just really curious as to where and when you started that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for calling. praise God for 6 years or nearly 6 years of recovery. That's awesome. And so I started Catholic in Recovery. I got sober here in San Diego in 2011. And as a result, came back to the church. Your story sounds a lot like mine in that regard. And, it was through the miracle of my sobriety that I really knew and met God and grew up Catholic, although fell away from the church in my teenage years. And, found my way back to the church. And then in 2015, I began a website, CatholicInRecovery.com, really just sharing some experience, strength, and hope related to addiction recovery in the church. I saw that there was an opportunity for the church to learn in some ways of from addiction recovery fellowships, and also that there were many people in those fellowships who were longing for a deeper relationship with their higher power and could be a bridge or a gateway to the church, back to the church in some instances, or to the church for the first time. You know, I began participating in RCIA, not I was actually envious of those who were going through the sacraments as adults, because I kind of just went through the motions as a kid. And then I recognized through a lot of great counsel, both in people who were mentoring me in the church and in recovery, the similarities between the 12 steps and the sacramental life of the church, and really the sacraments of initiation and healing. And as they overlap with the 12 steps, saw that as I was working through the 12 steps, I was engaging in a lot of the same spiritual behaviors and milestones, and we have both sponsors in the church and in recovery, and there's a lot of similarities. And so I didn't envision that it would lead to a worldwide community, and grateful that it has. And I've learned a lot along the way. We began our first meeting in January 2017, and it's grown quite a bit since then.
What do you think, Cameron?
Well, right on. I think that's fantastic, man. Because I just recently came back to the church, within the last year. I think there is a change in how people like Scott and I are perceived. When I first came back and did my first confession in, what was probably 22 years, that was a laundry list of things. But my priest at my parish, he understood. And what he did is, he asked me if I went through AA, and I went through the 12 steps, and that kind of took it down to where, he understands me. And I think that a program like Catholic Recovery is a great way for us to evangelize for the Catholic faith, even. Mm-hmm. I think it's great because, getting people in the door to AA is what, saved my life, like I said earlier. But, you have people in there that are claiming their higher power is a doorknob. And you probably heard that, Scott. You know what I mean? And if we could get people into, say, Catholic in recovery, then maybe there's hope for them to see who God really is. And that's really all I got to say, man. So thanks for creating that. I'm going to look into it, man. I think that's great. And thank you for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, Cameron. God bless you. CatholicInRecovery.com is the place that you can go.
And check out in Carmichael, California, just I think a little bit west of you, Our Lady the Assumption has a Catholic in Recovery fellowship there as well.
It does seem to me like that what Cameron said about that things are changing is true. I think I do think Catholic in Recovery is something that can kind of further that change, so that we're not resistant to the person who is suffering with an addiction, or the family that's suffering with an addiction, or the spouse or whatever, child. But that we are the place where those people feel they can find healing and peace and love and acceptance.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that there's a lot that we can do. I want to clarify this, too. It's important to note that we don't claim to be a substitute for other 12-step groups related to either alcohol, drugs, food, lust, you name it, but rather supplemental, too. And as Cameron mentioned, that's kind of a similar vision. He mentioned Celebrate Recovery, which is a Protestant organization that started in Orange County at Rick Warren Saddleback Church about 30 years ago. And they have now, I think, 30,000 Celebrate Recovery groups around the world, and in many places are the evangelical arm of those churches. And we lose a lot of Catholics.
But
go there.
Right. You would think if you find a group that shares your Christian faith and provides that peace and healing that you've been looking for, and the community you've been looking for, you might be drawn towards that.
Absolutely, especially if maybe they were, you know, someone's referred to a secular 12-step group by their pastor, which saved my life and continues to save my life. But in some instances, there might be some anti-Catholic sentiment shared in those meetings, which, you know, we are not immune to. And there may be some people who are referring to their higher power as a doorknob or a soccer ball or something along those lines, and, you know, a spiritual program. But so someone there might be, I don't know, wonder if this is for them or in alignment with their faith. Catholic in Recovery kind of shares the blend of our the traditions of our faith and the 12 steps of recovery. Yeah, I think that, you know, people aren't, yeah, people are seeking in these desperate times sometimes new life, God, and we can provide that.
Praise God. Cameron, thank you very, very much. Again, CatholicInRecovery.com is where anybody can go to get information on Catholic in Recovery. Scott Wieman is our guest. He's the founder of Catholic in Recovery and the founder of, and I always get the title of the book exactly correct, so I want to say it in exactly the correct way. The 12 Steps in the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Did that seem like I was looking through my notes?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Phil's in Kansas City, Missouri. That's the good Kansas City. That's what everybody tells me.
Okay.
You're not getting involved in that. I don't know anything about that. Listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio. Phil, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for the program. That really sparked my interest back in the faith several years ago. But for Scott, I've got an adult son who's an alcoholic. He thankfully has like 11 months of sobriety now. He's approaching his one-year anniversary. But the nugget that I'm hoping to get from you guys is our relationship is very transactional right now. He only calls me when he needs something from me. You know, hey, Dad, can I spend the night with you and bring my son over with me? And hey, Dad, I need, you know, a couple $100. I manage his funds for him. So you know, we need to have that conversation, obviously. But everything else, it's just we don't talk about anything other than whatever transaction he needs me to perform for him. So what ideas would you have for me?
Yeah, thanks for calling, Phil. I'm curious, how engaged in the recovery process have you been? His recovery.
Well, I have been through all of the stuff. I enabled him for a while. Certainly did that, but I also had to make the hard choice and kick him out of a cabin that I used to own, and basically put him out on the street. And that's where he finally found a program that he's in. And he's being very successful. So, you know, I've done my best, I feel, to try to help him along the way. If that helps.
Yeah, I appreciate that. you know, I think just like he is healing from alcoholism or an addiction, the whole family, it sounds like, is in need of healing. And, you know, it's not just an overnight thing. You know, this is really why, you know, we describe addiction as a family spiritual disease. And, you know, it sounds like you recognized maybe where you had gotten caught up in that. And as a parent of an adult child, I can't imagine how challenging it might be to see someone's life kind of collapsing or falling apart right in front of you. And, you know, with the natural inclination of asking, what can I do to help? You know, unfortunately, as you've probably learned through some trial and error, addiction isn't something that we can manage ourselves. And perhaps, as you probably have learned, you are powerless over alcohol just as much as Phil is. And maybe not in your own intake or other ways, but certainly his use. And so it sounds like, you know, the relationship probably for a while had to be transactional, or were, you know, almost the nature of the relationship in his addiction and the family disease of addiction was formed to be transactional. And, you know, it's going to take some time for that to overcome. But I think just even taking and expressing an interest in some of the things that he's doing and, you know, just being his dad. You know, I think for a while we fall into, and this is very, very natural, but the therapist in me is going to come out for a moment here. But as in a family unit, we have, we develop kind of roles within the family in order to help the identified patient in the family. For this, in this instance, your son maybe has kind of taken that role of identified patient, and you maybe you've taken the role for a while of like his healing, kind of like his caretaker. And so he doesn't need a caretaker right now. And just, you know this, but you know, I'm sure that praise God that he's finding help and has found help. And I would imagine has some healthy relationships around him and is probably going through a lot of what many of us go through and, you know, kind of learning how to adjust our playmates and our playgrounds in recovery. And so the family can learn through that. And I would just give yourself time, give him time. You could also learn a lot, though, perhaps, from participating in a family recovery group. You know, Al-Anon is one of those groups. There are a variety of Catholic and recovery family and friends groups, meetings that take place. You know, and whether the person in your family is in the midst of addiction or has found recovery from addiction, this is something that allows the whole family system to heal. Not so that you're taking ownership. You didn't cause, cure, or nor can you control his addiction, his alcoholism. But you can certainly perhaps even learn new ways to find a new relationship with your son. You know, certainly he's kind of on the verge of this spiritual awakening. And as a father, I imagine you want to be right there with them, but don't know how. So, you know, I think that as he's going to mature emotionally and spiritually, I'll just, you know, perhaps ask him. I don't know. That's a lot of just rambling and thoughts, not rambling, but some, you know, certainly some guided thoughts. But any of that land for you, Phil?
A little bit. I guess maybe I want things to happen faster than mm-hmm. They are. And that's probably my big takeaway here is just to let the time heal the wounds. So, and that's one of those things you don't want to hear, especially as a father that's has dealt with this for the better part of 5 or 6 years. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Phil, can I say? I'll say one more thing.
Okay.
One more thing, Phil. As someone who, wishes that I had a better relationship with my father. Don't give up, and be patient. I imagine that he's in this place right now too, where he longs for things to be better, and maybe he's afraid to say the thing that's hard to say, and he's reaching out at times of need. But I can't imagine that he's not thinking about you or longing for a better relationship outside of those moments. And so, do what you can one day at a time, but be patient with him, be patient with yourself, and be patient with God.
Phil, thank you very, very much. If you'd like to check out the website, CatholicInRecovery.com, CatholicInRecovery.com. Our guest is Scott Wieman, the founder of CatholicInRecovery.com. Something we started doing several years ago with Scott at holiday time. It seemed appropriate to holiday time, but it's become more regular than that. Every couple months or few months, I don't know, every 2 or 3 months, mm-hmm. We see you and we get to do this show. So your opportunity to talk about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective, whether you're ministering in a parish or a family or a marriage or all by yourself, maybe it's your addiction you want to talk about, somebody else's, you are welcome to call. Yeah. Oh, I want to say it again, too. You don't have to be Catholic to call. You want to talk about addiction and recovery? 888-318-7884.
You know, I think someone from Oklahoma called in earlier, and their original question was, how do I get a Catholic in recovery group started?
Yeah.
We never answered that question, although maybe you did by saying go to CatholicInRecovery.com. But if anyone is interested in either participating in a virtual Catholic in recovery meeting happening every day or getting a new Catholic in recovery group started or finding an in-person meeting near you, all those resources are available on our website. And yeah, we would love to support you in growing a fellowship in your community.
And how many groups now? Right now?
We have about 100 active in-person meetings and 50 virtual meetings.
So do it. The more it grows, the more it can share the faith with people and bring that healing to so many people, including to the church, to all those who come to the church, but to the church in general. We need that healing. So check it out at CatholicInRecovery.com. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more calls for Scott Wieman on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect roundout of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest, good friend Scott Wieman from right here in Southern California, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. It's been a great gift to us to have Scott over the years come in and talk about addiction and recovery with us. And if you've got a question, if you want to have a conversation with Scott, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. However, Scott, before I go to the phones, I have to read this ad with great enthusiasm.
Yeah, let's
get it. So if it's long, though. Look at all this stuff. So if it gets boring, if you get tired of it, just kind of make a signal and I'll move on to the next thing.
Okay.
Do you know what today is? It's Cyber Monday. And here at Catholic Answers, we're very excited to announce our Cyber Monday $10 book sale. More than 50 books to choose from, our very newest and best-selling titles from your very favorite authors. Visit our $10 book sale category and shop away at shop.catholic.com. There's a lot more. Do you want me to just wrap it up, or are you enjoying this?
Can I finish it?
Oh, yes. Here, just do the last two lines there.
All right.
That'll do it.
Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com today and get your tickets. Today only, promo code Cyber Monday saves you $75.
Well, he's good, huh? Do you want to guest host the show sometime?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Emma in Hayden, Idaho. Emma, we're awful glad you're here. We're glad you're here every time you're here, Emma. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Thank you, Cy. I wanted to talk about how fragile sobriety is.
Okay.
I have 14 years. And when we just got back from a trip from Costa Rica, we were gone almost a month. I'm not kidding you. I had a drinking dream like every 3 days.
Oh, okay.
And you know that sent me for a loop. When I think I've got the tools under my belt and I'm all safe and secure, it's not that safe and secure. I think we really have to guard ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Scott,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So to fill Cy in and maybe others, you know, sometimes we get these dreams that are like recall dreams or as Emma described, you know, a dream where you're drinking. She hasn't taken a drink in over 14 years, yet she has a drink. And that can be a little bit alarming. We might wake up with like, what was that? You know, when our sobriety is paramount in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's the fragility of our sobriety is a great discussion point. And, you know, whether you have 10 days of sobriety, 10 months of sobriety, 10 years of sobriety, you know, several decades of sobriety, we each have today, you know, and there's something that's, we are all on an equal playing field in recovery. Addiction does not discriminate, nor does our solution. So whether rich or poor, regardless of ethnicity or gender or even vocational status, addiction does not discriminate. It's a great equalizer.
What do you think about that, Emma, first of all?
I couldn't have said that better myself.
The founder. Mm. Emma, thanks. I appreciate it.
But can I ask, Emma, what is your, you know, you said that you were gone for about a month. What are some of the things, the routines that help you maintain that one day at a time sobriety?
Read my book.
You mean the big book?
The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I went to three meetings.
There you go.
Two of them were in Spanish, so I speak Spanish, but they were just like, I couldn't follow along.
Mm-hmm. But I bet you got a lot out of it. Just like when we travel the world, we can find Catholic churches everywhere, and it may not even be in the same language, but we still know what's going on. We can participate. The same thing is beautiful. You know, recovery is happening around the globe. And, you know, we can travel and still have fellowship with us. And there's a kinship there, much like when we find out, you know, find some fellow Catholics, the kinship among fellow brothers and sisters in recovery is awesome. And, you know, we may share very few other similarities other than the fact that we desperately need God and each other one day at a time in order to stay sober, abstinent, clean, balanced, however you define your recovery.
Emma, thank you. Thanks very, very much. The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking about addiction and recovery with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. CatholicInRecovery.com is the place to use, the place to visit to find out more.
Go ahead, Scott. And, you know, I'll say this, is that this time of year, the holidays, we're approaching Advent beginning Sunday. We just came off of Thanksgiving weekend, which may have found some, you know, heightened family conflict or just, you know, difficult conversations that we otherwise aren't having during our day. It's a great time to be really redoubling down on our recovery efforts and our faith practice efforts. So, you know, I would say that if you follow this, you know, kind of five-step formula, which this was shared by a fellow Catholic in Recovery member. We had a webinar last week. Members of CIR Plus Premium can find the archive of a lot of resources, webinars, and things like that. But the theme, serenity, sanity, and sobriety through the holidays. If you do that, these five things, which are really things that we can do every day, but during this time we double down our efforts. Wake up in the morning and ask God to keep you sober this day. Read some recovery literature, which Emma just referred to, you know, making that a part of your day. You know, that could also include the Bible, Scripture. This is not just for those in recovery, by the way. You'll find that these things are helpful. Go to a meeting. Go to a meeting each day. Talk to another person in recovery. And then thank God for keeping you sober before you go to bed at night. You do those five things, and it sounds like that's a recipe for a good day.
888-318-7884, the number. I want to ask you about this. You're a Catholic group, I can tell, because it's called Catholic in Recovery. Mm-hmm. So do you observe the seasons of the year? Will there be special Advent things that you're going to be doing, Christmas things, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. We had, like I mentioned, kind of a pre-full holiday season, winter holiday webinar last week. You can access that. And we're going to have every Sunday of Advent, we're going to have a Advent candle lighting ceremony among our communities. Oh. Communities. So this is a virtual event via Zoom that people can invite their family members to and light your Advent candle together with a little reflection on the theme of the week, peace, hope, love, and joy and love. And we'll have a few webinars during the Advent season as well. And then that will conclude. Advent is as short as it can be this year. The fourth Sunday of Advent is Christmas Eve. And so we'll have a Christmas marathon meeting beginning Christmas Eve during the day, and that will extend for about 36 hours. We'll have a 36-hour long meeting. So if anyone is in need during the holidays, particularly Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, finding fellowship, it's just a click away. CatholicInRecovery.com will have a running virtual marathon meeting with people present and committed to being there at all hours of the day.
Well, Scott, I want to say thanks. Thanks very mm-hmm. much for coming in and talking this through with us. Christ himself is a healer, and he and this is something the church really needs to rediscover, is her role in the person of Christ to be a healer in the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I see the body of Christ healing the body of Christ through Christ every single day, and it's amazing to see families reuniting, to see people experience the freedom that a few callers described earlier.
Right.
You can't beat it.
And that's the thing, is I really liked that call. I liked all the calls today, and I'm grateful for them. But the woman who called from Oklahoma, because there is a way in which we can think, oh yeah, Christ is a healer and all that, but not for me. Like we feel excluded from it. We feel defeated by our own sins, but also by our own just habits and inclinations, compulsions, addictions, all that. We feel defeated by it mm-hmm. sometimes.
Absolutely, it can drive us to hopelessness. And that gift of hope, not tangible, we don't talk about it too much, but hope is such an incredible gift. And I hope that all the listeners find it this holiday season.
So what do you advise if someone says, hey, I want to maintain my sobriety, or I want to get sober mm-hmm. this holiday season, I want to do it now?
Mm-hmm. Get to a meeting every day. Ask God to put people in your life that will help you find that freedom that you're looking for. Commit to reading recovery literature, and ask and thank God every day for keeping you sober. We have resources at CatholicInRecovery.com, CIR Plus, a variety of communal events, but make it a community thing. You know, find others who have found freedom from the addiction that you're seeking freedom from, and in turn that will strengthen you both.
Scott's book is The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. Also, you can get the Catholic in Recovery workbook at catholicinrecovery.com. If you are in recovery, if you are seeking recovery, check them out at catholicinrecovery.com. Scott, you're frightening with the giant beard, but inside, what a gem you are.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, thanks very much. And thanks for making this a tradition here at the holidays. Coming up, Father Tad Boholczyk on bioethics. Your questions welcome right after this on Catholic Answers Live.